Let's go straight into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've given unto us. Thank you, Father, for the work of redemption that you've done. Thank you, Father, for the riches of glory, grace, and liberality you've bestowed upon us by the work of redemption. We decree and declare this morning that as we go into the word, our eyes of understanding is enlightened to behold all that you've made us to be in Christ. Our eyes of understanding is enlightened to see ourselves yet more the way you see us in Christ. At the end of this meeting, as believers, as saints, we are edified. Christ alone is glorified. There is no confusion in this atmosphere. The truth of God's word is taught with accuracy and precision. Oh, glory to God. Jesus and Him alone is proclaimed with clarity. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's another beautiful time to fellowship in the word and the spirit. Yes, today we'll be looking at a teaching that I would consider to be more of an admonition with instructions. Yeah, it will be more like an instructive service. Yeah. So we would have an instructive service. Basically, definitely. But I mean, it's a teaching meeting, but you know, we'd have definite instructions that we would see today. Today, you can title today's teaching "Staying Joyful" or "Stay Joyful." You can title it "Unadulterated Joy." You can title it "Full of Joy." You can call your name and say, "Joshua, stay joyful. Joshua, stay joyful. Joshua Yusuf, stay joyful." You know, it's an instruction that we will look through scriptures today and see what scripture speaks about times and challenges and things we go through. You know, if you have your Bible, which I believe you should be with, let's start from 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16, stay joyful. Paul writing to Timothy is saying something. Okay, look at verse 15. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." The house of God is the church of the living God. It is the pillar and ground of the truth. Yeah, look at verse 16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Without controversy. See, that statement, "without controversy," means without dissenting voices. It means all are in agreement. All are in agreement. Without dissenting voices, all are in agreement. So without dissenting voices, with all being in agreement, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Yeah, without controversy. That is, all are in agreement. What is everyone in agreement with? Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You know, you remember from our last teaching on Wednesday, we saw that John 1:14, "And the word became flesh." We substituted the word the word became flesh with the initial, the initial statement in verse 1 of John 1, where it says, "And the word was God." So we replace the word with God. So verse 14 of John chapter 1 says that, "And God became flesh." Here, Timothy, Paul is saying the same thing. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. It says, God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. Without controversy. What does that mean? It means that all ignorances, or all the ignorant things we might have, or all the dissenting knowledge we might have, all the false impressions we might have about God, can be corrected by looking at God made manifest in the flesh. All the confusions we have about God's nature can be nullified and can be corrected, you know, by seeing God made manifest in the flesh. You remember from our last teaching, we spoke about how God is man, how God became a man, yeah, and that is through Christ. So, and we said that Jesus is not a junior God, Jesus is not the houseboy of God, yeah, Jesus is God. Yeah, so how do we know God? We know God through his revelation in the flesh, through his revelation as a man. Yeah, that's why if you remember the song we're singing, God in man who died for man and he rose as a man. Now we give praise to God who died for man. God was made manifest as a man. Yeah, so without controversy, we see that. In fact, see where we started last meeting, James chapter 1 verse 13. James chapter 1, turn with me to James chapter 1. You know, we started from verse 16, but we later went for to verse 13. James 1, verse 16. It says, do not err, my beloved brethren, do not err about what? Every good gift and every perfect gift from above. Yeah, and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. On Wednesday, we try to establish that God's character, and we try to establish God's character and God's nature. And we saw that there is no variableness. Okay, do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not go into error. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Yeah, so we saw all of this on Sunday. You know, remember, we're trying to see verse 13. Let none say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Let none, let no circumstance, let no challenge, let nobody, let no word, let no country say that when they are tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. What is James saying? Is that God does not respond to man's ability or man's pushing to tempt him. God does not respond to man's wanting to tempt him. Yeah, he says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed. You know, what James was really explaining here is the first three chapters of Genesis. You know, then when lust has been conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and when it's finished, bringeth forth death. You know, I mean, if you conversant with Bible knowledge, you realize that those three, four verses, it was really just explaining Genesis 1 to 3. Yeah, so James now says, do not err, my beloved brethren. So we've tried to establish, I know, and our advice, if you've not listened to the last teaching, to just go listen to it, yeah, and listen to this again afterwards. You know, we've established that God's nature can be seen in his manifestation in the flesh. If you have any misconceptions about God, misunderstanding about God, what do? You look for how, when he became flesh. That is, look for Christ. So Christ is the full revelation of God. Yeah. Remember, this meeting, this teaching is an instructive meeting or teaching that says staying joyful. Staying joyful. You know, talk with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Remember, we've established God's nature. Now, why should there be an admonition to remain joyful if we cannot decipher God's true nature? You know, it's very difficult to go through challenges and maintain joy. You know, it's very difficult to go through challenges either way or anyhow and remain joyful. You know, but we will see what scripture admonishes about our joy. We would see the things that the apostles rejoiced about. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is when you study appropriately. Remember that word there, study, means to be eager, to be diligent, to have an attitude of researchful reading, painstakingly going through or painstakingly studying, having a comprehensive mindset towards reading. So having this comprehensive mindset and researchful reading ability is what enables a workman to rightly divide the word of truth. Yeah. So if there is a right way of dividing the word of truth, there is also a wrong way. But Paul is telling Timothy, after telling him in verse 2 of chapter 2, the things that thou hast heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Yeah, we've established that already, that there is something called same doctrine. In fact, everybody, every Christian, then should say the same thing. In fact, hold your hands in 2 Timothy and go to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Let's see verse 11. You know, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, which are teachers. For why did he give those? Why were those ministry gifts given? He says, for the verse 12, Ephesians 4, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry. So the reason we have apostles, we have prophets, we have evangelists, we have pastors that are teachers, is for the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting of the saints, how do we see the perfection of the saints? We see that for the work of ministry. Remember 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, we say that, therefore if any man be in Christ, is a new creation, all things are passed away, all things have become new. To wit that God was in Christ, yeah, reconciling the world to himself, he has now given unto us a ministry of reconciliation. Every man that is a new man in Christ, that is a new creation, has a ministry of reconciliation. So every man is called to ministry. You know, every man is called to ministry. What is ministry? Ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. You know, we are now in a time and generation where you ask some Christians and believers, how is ministry going? They're fine. And they say, oh, glorious, glory, glory to God, it's going fine. And when you really ask them, what ministry are they saying is going fine? They're talking about serving cups or serving water for guest ministers, you know, or putting chewing gum inside his cup mixed together with fruit juice, you know, for the pastor, you know, and carrying pastor's Bible. No, that is not ministry. That is not ministry. That is service in the house, service amongst brethren. Yeah, what is ministry? Ministry is that component of reconciliation. Yeah, ministry of reconciliation is what every believer is called into. Once you are born again, you are called into the ministry of reconciliation. That is why we have ministry gifts in Ephesians chapter 4. Yeah, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry. This now leads to, or how we see this is for the edification of the body of Christ. Who is the body of Christ? What does the body of Christ mean? It means for the church, which is the same thing he mentioned in the first line of verse 12, perfection of saints. So the combination of saints or the coming together of saints is what we consider to be the body of Christ. Everybody that is a saint, that is a member of the body of Christ, is given the ministry of reconciliation. He says, look at verse 13, till we all come in the unity of faith. You know, coming to the unity of faith is not holding our hands together and doing end of the year party, you know, and sharing five for life and puff puff and all of that. No, that is not unity of faith. What is unity of faith? Unity of faith, he explained in that verse. You see that word there, and can be further used to explain what was said before. Yeah. So what unity of faith mean? You can read verse 14, verse 13, till we come into the unity of faith. That is the knowledge of the Son of God. What is the coming into the unity of faith? It is when we all have a uniform information or uniform speech concerning the knowledge of the Son of God. So unity of faith is when we come into unity. You see, this is one of the verses that, I mean, the next few verses we speak about Paul talking about speaking the truth in love, which a lot of people always run to when it looks like some truth hits them very hard, you know. But remember, we've done a little explanation on that in church. But you know, the unity of faith is what we're emphasizing on here, is when we all have unison in the knowledge of God. What does that mean? When you go to church A, the knowledge about the Son of God is the same as when you go to church T. Yeah, we are saying the same thing. Our words are saying the same thing. Yeah, it's not. In fact, a better way to look at that will be in reference to our hearts. Our hearts are saying the same thing. Our hearts are saying, you see, it's not just about our hearts saying different things and our voices coming together and trying to act like we are together. You know, unity of faith is where, so that means every Christian must have a unity or have a uniform knowledge about the nature of God. Yeah, that is why we come to church. Yeah, go back to 2 Timothy 2 and 2. Yeah, so Paul in verse 15 is saying, study to show thyself as approved of God, a toiler that needed not to be ashamed. Do not be ashamed of this laboring. Yeah, rightly dividing the word of truth. Remember, he has said the same. Yeah, the only reason why we have unity of faith is because the same message from 2 Timothy 2 verse 2 is being communicated to faithful men to teach others. That is the unity of faith, unity in the knowledge of the Son. Yeah. So as believers, then we are to be uniform in what we are saying. Yeah. A cannot be saying God is doing this and B is saying God is not doing this. Yeah. We are to say the same thing. That is why knowledge is something we study to get. You see, when we, as believers, believers are not, in fact, let me say it this way. Yeah. You know, we live in a generation right now where people want to have independent knowledge or revelation in the Bible, where they call it their personal remember. Oh, I used to be there. Yeah, I you know, I've told people, I tell you all about how a few years ago, a couple of years ago, I used to have a personal app where I downloaded that, the password, and I had a special folder called Rema from the Throne of Grace. You know, when I look back at those nonsense I was writing a few years ago, they were total nonsense, like serious rubbish. Yeah, things that could be tried. In fact, if not because Thank God for Jesus, you know. But the truth remains that there is something called the same knowledge. It's not about the Holy Spirit minister to me. No. Even if the Holy Spirit minister to you, we cross-check your correctness or how correct you are based on what the scripture teaches about that. Yeah, you know, think about it. If two of us are saying that the Holy Spirit ministers to us and what we are saying the Holy Spirit told us is different things, why should the Holy Spirit minister to two different believers in the world of the Holy Spirit and show them two different things based on the thing he has inspired? Yeah, remember scripture says, in fact, go to Second Timothy 3, and that from a child, verse 15, 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which have an ability to make thee wise concerning salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God. Yeah, scriptures are inspired by God. Yeah, so why should the Holy Spirit that inspired scriptures, the Spirit of God inspiring scriptures, now give three different believers three different meanings from what he has inspired? So how do we know who is correct? How do we know what is correct? Yeah, it's the same knowledge. We are to be in unity. That's why we have the ministry gifts. You know, ministry gifts, in fact, is not necessarily about, in fact, I don't think we should even go into that, you know, but it says that they are given by inspiration. They are profitable. That word there, profitable, is the word that means advantageous. Yeah, advantageous for doctrine. What is the word there, doctrine? Teaching. In teaching, what do we have? Reproof. That word there is evidence, assurance of faith. Yeah. It says for correction, for rectification. That word, the correction, means to rectify our knowledge. It now says for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished, yeah, unto all good works, profitable unto all good works. Look at chapter 3. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. You know, and his kingdom. You know, I've had a couple of people reach out to me to ask me questions about is this God's judgment, or are these things that are happening signs of end time? You know, very interesting question, which I might deal with on Wednesday. But see what Paul is telling Timothy. He says that I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, who shall judge the quick and the dead, but at the appearing of his kingdom. Remember, see, you know, scripture doesn't teach about rapture. You know, let me say it this way. Scripture, doctrinally, we don't see scriptures. The epistles teach about rapture in reference to disappearance. The scripture doesn't teach a disappearing of people. It doesn't teach disappearing of people. But actually, it teaches an appearing of the kingdom of God. Yeah, an appearing. Yeah, beautiful topic. Yeah, look at verse 2 of chapter 4. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all patience and doctrine. Yeah, that word there, long suffering is patience. Look at it, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? Sound doctrine there means wholesome doctrine, a comprehensive doctrine. Doctrine concerning what? Doctrine concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. Doctrine concerning what? Sound doctrine is about the unity in knowledge concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Paul saying, there's a time that will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Are we not in that day and time? Yeah, people rather than hear that your sins are forgiven in Christ, your righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you know, people want to hear to make it, to be it, to see it, then fit it, then kitty, then inside. You know, people want to hear a lot of nonsense. Yeah, he calls them what? Heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Why is your ears why are your ears scratching you? It says, verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Are we not in that day and time now? Yeah, we've been in this day and time for years. And shall be turned unto fables. What are fables? You know, Paul will say in Colossians chapter 2, he says, do not be deceived by empty philosophies of men, human philosophies. Yeah, high-sounding nonsense. Those are fables. Yeah, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. But we see what Paul is admonishing. He says, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Yeah, wherever you are, lift your hand and say, I would preach the word in season and out of season. I will preach the word in season and out of season. Yeah, so we're looking at, you see, spiritual growth is marked by your knowledge of Christ. You know, your spirit doesn't grow. Yeah, your spirit doesn't grow. A man's spirit doesn't grow. You know, for you to say a man's spirit grows in the sense that the spirit is growing like your body is growing, it will mean that whatever eba you eat or whatever pounded yam you eat, the way your pot belly grows is the way your spirit pot belly will grow. Yeah, so it will mean that your spirit, so for some of us that have pot bellies, it means that our spirit also has pot belly. Oh, glory to God. No, no. When you eat, it goes to your physical body. It nourishes your body. Your spirit doesn't grow. The spirit that a believer receives upon salvation is a perfect spirit. Is a perfect spirit. Yet we've received the spirit. You know, look, see Romans chapter 8. Yeah, when you say spirit grows, in fact, I think I'll say it better. Your spirit doesn't grow, but we can say your spirit grows when we see you grow in knowledge. Okay, I'll explain that better. Look at Romans chapter 8. It says, for as many, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The word there, led, is the word that means agio. Yeah, it's the word in Greek word, it means ago, agio, whatever you want to pronounce it that. Yeah, it means to be brought forth. You know, you can explain it better by meaning to go from point A to point B. So, for as many as are led by the... See, that Romans 8 verse 14 is not necessarily talking about our daily leading. It's not saying for as many as are being led daily. No, it is for as many as are brought forth by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Yeah, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage. We are the sons of God. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we call Abba, Father. Yeah, translation from a point A to point B. Look at verse 16. The spirit itself, you know, if you have a good translation, or if rather, most translations says itself. Actually, it should mean himself. Yeah, the spirit is not an it. It is an himself. Yeah, the spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Oh, glory to God. You see what he's teaching there? He says that, look at verse 80, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Can you see? Revelation, revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. What people used to go into businesses and, you know, the creatures of the world are waiting for the sons of God to take over political. No. Yeah, we're not going into that today. But remember, what we are trying to deal with is that the fullness of the Spirit is what a believer receives upon salvation. So once a man is saved, he receives the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't grow. Yeah, but you can grow in the knowledge of that Spirit. In fact, go to 2 Peter chapter 3. The Spirit doesn't grow, but you can grow in the knowledge of that Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 18. 2 Peter 3 verse 18. But grow in grace. Grow in grace. Grow in grace. Grow in grace. How do you grow in grace? Which is in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So how do you grow in grace? Yeah, you grow in grace, which is in the knowledge. So your growing in grace is based on the knowledge. How do you grow in the Spirit? Yeah, your spirit doesn't grow, but you grow in the knowledge of your spirit. What we now summarize and call spiritual growth. Yeah, so I'm growing spiritually. What you really mean is not that your spirit is growing just like your stomach is growing. Yeah, it will mean that if you had a pot belly in your spirit and you do work out, it will mean that your spirit will start having packs. No. The fullness of God's spirit is received upon salvation. Yeah, the spiritual growth we call spiritual growth is based on our growth in knowledge. Yeah, so when we say someone is growing up spiritually, what we're really saying is that he is growing in knowledge. Knowledge about what? Knowledge about that indwelling of the spirit. Yeah, so how do we know a man who has grown? We know a man who has grown or who is growing based on his reflection of his knowledge. What do I mean? Yeah, the choices of words, the actions he makes, the things he says. Yeah, the way he explains Christ and him alone. We know that a man is growing based on that. You see, we don't really know a man based on, we don't really know a man growing spiritually based on his activities in reference to results. Yeah, but we know a man growing based on his knowledge, his growth in knowledge. You know, with this, we see that as believers, something very important we should always have in our daily activities. There is a slant for our faith and of our faith. There's a slant that is of our faith. You know, if you remember very well, a few months ago, we're teaching about the use of words. Yeah, as believers, we are to stick to the biblical use of words and reasons behind those words. Yeah, what I mean is this. What does the Bible say we should rejoice about? What does the Bible say we should be joyful about? Yeah, did the Bible teach? Do we see any scripture in any of the epistle letters that we see an apostle rejoicing over material things? Do we see any scripture in the Bible amongst the epistles that we see apostles rejoicing over cars, houses? Yeah, you know, do we see that? You see, our bias as believers should be what? The bias of scriptures. Our bias should be the bias of scriptures. You know, it is good to stick to biblical words and the biblical meanings and biblical definitions. You know, for instance, we in our teaching on the praise, on our praising, we spoke about how what praise to God is not dancing. Yeah, praise to God is not clapping. Praise to God is not a beremon like a joke. No. That is not praise to God. From scriptures, that is not praise. If you need that teaching, we have an 8-track teaching on that. Yeah, praises to God is about what you say about the work of God. Yeah, what is a gospel song? A gospel song is not a song that at the beginning you start a beremon like go. No. That at the end of the day, you now say, no. Able God. No. A gospel song is not a song that even says thank. It's not a song that mentions God. Yeah, a gospel song is simply the gospel that is sung. Oh, glory to God. That's some rhema, yeah? A gospel song is the singing of the gospel. A gospel song is when you sing the gospel. What is the gospel? That Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again. That is the gospel. So, how do you know a gospel song? You know a gospel song based on what it says about the gospel. We don't know a gospel song based on the influence of the man that sings it. Yeah, we don't know a gospel song based on a man that cries and says he went to the third heaven or 17th heaven and God gave his personal revelation. No, that is not how you know a gospel song. Yeah, you don't know a gospel song. In fact, a gospel song is not even a song that speaks about God's creation in reference to the sun, the moon, and the stars. Listen, the gospel song is a song that speaks about God's creation in reference to a man that believes, the new man in Christ. Yeah, so is it good to sing about I see the stars, I see the thunder, I see all of that? There's nothing really wrong in that, but when you say, but it's not a gospel song. When you sing a gospel song, you sing about the work of Christ in the new creation. Yeah, so rather than I see the stars, I see the rolling thunder, no, you can say I see your church, I see the church, I see the new creation. Yeah, the new creation is that might, remember, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, 18, Paul was praying that their eyes of understanding, that our eyes of understanding may be enlightened to behold the exceeding greatness of God's power towards the believer. Yeah, so God's exceeding greatness of power is seen towards the believer. In fact, it took God more power to create the new man than it took God power to create the universe. It took God, because God's mighty power was wrought towards the believer. Yeah, so we are to stick to biblical words and biblical meanings and definitions. Yeah, for example, the word blessed. Not a single time is the word blessed in the New Testament used for material things. Yeah, we looked at that in church, how one means fortunate and one means well spoken of. Yeah, but in our day and time, we call blessed, oh, how are you? God just blessed me with a car. No, you see, that is our English. A biblical term for blessed is well spoken of or fortunate. So when you say blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, what you are really saying is speak well of the Lord and Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has spoken well. When he says he has blessed us, he's not saying he has given us material things, he's not saying he has given us cars, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. What is that? He has spoken well of us in reference to spiritual blessings. You see, a proper understanding of the vocabulary of scriptures would make us to understand and see better and take ourselves away from positions of depression. Yeah, one very important conversation that is consistent in scriptures is about rejoicing about the blessedness of the believer. Oh, glory to God. Look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 18. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Oh, the believer is blessed. The believer is blessed. The believer is blessed. Oh, lift your hand and say, I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed man. I'm well spoken of. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, so remember, we're trying to deal with disposition of scripture. Look at Matthew chapter 28. We're trying to deal with the disposition of scriptures and the instructions and the words and vocabulary of scriptures. You know, you can look, see Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, yes, that word, their power is authority. Excuse me. All power is given unto me in heaven, as in earth. Glory to God. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Remember, we don't have the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We have the name of the Son. Yeah, we have the name of the Son, the work of the Son. Yeah, so a better translation would be, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son. That is, baptizing them in the teaching and doctrine of the name of the Son, the authority of the Son. You see, that word there, baptizing, you know, on the series we are looking at, investigative scriptures, the series we are looking at, we are saying that not every time the word baptizing is used, it has to do with water. So he's not saying go and put people inside water. No. Jesus could not be saying that. Yeah, baptizing them would mean teaching them in the name of the Son. So a good way to read that would be, go ye therefore and teach all nations. It is this teaching that baptizes them. How do we know? Look at Mark 7. Look at Mark 16. Hold your hands in Matthew 20 and go to Mark 16. Verse 15. Look at Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That looks familiar to Matthew 28, right? Yeah, look at verse 16. He that believeth, that is baptized, shall be saved. How is a man baptized? A man is baptized by being saved. What is he saved from? He's saved from wrath. What is he saved into? He's saved into the authority that is in the name of Christ. So, baptizing there is not talking about water at all. So, look at how do we know. Go back to Matthew 28. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them. So, a good way to even read Matthew 28, 19 would be, go ye therefore and teach all nations, teaching them in the name of the Son. Look at verse 20. He now emphasizes on teaching, not baptizing again. Because baptizing is really teaching in this context. Am I saying every context baptizing is teaching? No. A word only has life in the midst of which, in the midst of words in which it is used. So, in fact, what I mean is this. Imagine I wake up in the morning and say, I want to go and fix my car. Next morning, I wake up and say, I want to go and fix money in the bank. Yeah, one of them is talking about depositing money in the bank. One of them is talking about fixing, which is to repair my car. Yeah, so baptizing is not always uniform in all and in all scriptures. In this scripture, the baptizing there is teaching. How do we know? We see that the mention of teaching is predominant. Look at verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. Yeah, not teaching and baptizing them, because it is when you teach that they are baptized into the name. That's why the epistles will show us that we've been baptized into the name of the Lord. Galatians will show us that. See, that word in verse 19 that means to teach is a word that means having a particular explanation in reference to a particular doctrine. The doctrine that the teaching them to observe all things would be what, in fact, sorry, I mean the word teaching rather. Yeah, the first word teach there is to make people students. Yeah, go ye therefore and teach. It means to make people students, make people disciples. So every man that is saved should be a disciple of the word. Every man that is saved should be a student of the word. Yeah, that word there now, teaching, in the next verse 19 means what? It has to do with a particular explanation. Yeah, the particular explanation. You know, Luke gave details on what Jesus did or what Jesus taught, you know, properly in Acts 1. If you turn with me to Acts 1, what Matthew summarized in 3 verses. Look at what Luke did to it in Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles. What is the commandment? Remember, teaching all that I have commanded. Matthew 28. What is the commandment he was teaching? Was it commandment to take over the sphere, the political sphere, the social sphere? No. Is it commandment to take over the government? No. There is no instruction to take over the government. There is no instruction to take over the political sphere of the world. Is there anything wrong in going into governmental bodies? No. Is there anything wrong in being a politician? No. Is there anything wrong in being a king? No. Is there anything wrong? The scriptures say it is wrong? No. But Jesus did not come to give people power to dominate the political sphere. Yeah, so look at it. Until the day which was taken by the Holy Ghost, he had commanded to the apostles whom he had chosen. Look at verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Yeah, infallible proofs will mean from scriptures. Yeah, being seen of himself of them 40 days, and he was speaking of the things pertaining the kingdom of God. What are the things he was speaking about pertaining the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? He was speaking about the resurrection. He was speaking about the resurrection. If I hold your thoughts in speaking about the kingdom of God, remember, Matthew summarized Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20 in like 3 verses. But really, that actually lasted for 40 days. It's not that Jesus just appeared and said, yeah, go, oh, yeah, go, yeah, be go. I say, be going. No. He had taught for 40 days. The summary of that teaching is what we see as going into the world and preach the gospel. There was a teaching. There was, in fact, one of the teachings, we will see Peter's immediate teaching on the day of Pentecost. Yeah, we will see his teaching. We will see that the teaching he had was most likely known from the teaching Jesus did for 40 days. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah, so we are to have biblical terms mean or have biblical meanings to us. We are to allow biblical terms have biblical meanings to us. So there was a 40 days exhaustive teaching. What was he teaching about? Jesus taught strictly. strictly about pertaining the kingdom of God, which is what the resurrection, in case we think it is not true. Look at verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. Look at verse 5. For John truly baptized with water. Can you see? The baptized here is with water. Yeah? But he shall be baptized. Can you see? He shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. No water. No water. Yeah? So Jesus could not be teaching what John was doing. Jesus could not be teaching. He might have taught from what John did, but not teaching to wait and look forward to what John did. Baptizing with the Holy Ghost, not with water. Yeah, so baptizing them in the name of the Son is about what? A teaching that has to do with the, in reference to the Holy Ghost. Look at it. Look at verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, who were they that asked him? The people that listened to his 40 days teaching. They asked him, who is the him? Jesus. They're saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Can you see? For Jesus to have finished teaching for 40 days, and one of the first questions that the people that attended that meeting asked was, when will you restore Israel, the kingdom of Israel? It's important to note that at this time, they had an imposter in power. So they were asking, are you not the one that will come and restore this kingdom back to the kingdom of, to the Israelites? Yeah, it's like being in a city of Abuja, and the king of Abuja is from Benue. Yeah, so Jesus teaching in Abuja, after teaching for 40 days, the people of Abuja thought he was the one to restore the city of Abuja back to a king that is from Abuja. Look at Jesus' response. And he said unto them, it is not for you. You see, we did a teaching of that shows the explicit explanation of that verse. What he's really saying is that is not for you, it is not your concern. But you are to know the times such as the seasons which the Father has put in his power. He now emphasizes again about the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Yeah, so Jesus did not come to teach about kingdom takeover. Yeah, so look at it. So if Jesus did not come to teach about material things, kingdom takeover, it means that we should consider the joy and the rejoicing we should have as believers. Yeah, remember I said something, that we don't see scriptures of the apostles rejoice over material things. So we see that Jesus says that we are to make, the instruction was to make disciples, make students. That's why when you come to church, we take notes. When we are attending meetings like this, we take notes. You know, you don't go to chemistry class or biology class, and your teacher comes into the class and says, oh, students, today we're going to be teaching about biology. And the teacher now says, oh, biology can be defined as the study of plants and animals. And someone behind just says, yes, 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 preach, preach, sir, preach, sir, speak, sir. No, speak. No, we are not in church. We are to use our hands. We are to use our hands to write in church, not to clap for the man that is speaking. Yeah, we don't say preach, sir. We don't say speak, sir. No, what do? In biology class, you take notes. Yeah, so the same way you have a teacher, because you are a student of the word, the same way you are a student of biology, when the word of truth is taught, what do? You take notes, you write, you jot things down. Yeah, not preaching, not hit us, not choke us, not speak. No, 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 no. That is not your work to do. That is not your work to do. In fact, you are not the one to approve the minister that is preaching. Yeah, there's nothing like we are not to come. Imagine, can you imagine if Paul was preaching? And after he just spoke about reconciliation and ministry of because someone from behind just shouts, yeah, preach, preach, brother Paul, Paulo, preach, you're on point, you're on track. Tell them, Jacob, come on. They are not here at the back. Increase the volume. No, that is not your work to do. You need what is being spoken. In fact, a lot of times, I realize that lots of people that say speak, actually that word is for them. Oh, glory to God. It is actually for you. That's how you think, you know, but your subconscious makes it look like it's not for you. But the truth is that it is for you. Yeah, so we are to be students of the word. We are to be students of the word. You see, we see Jesus give examples and templates and practices of praying, teaching, rejoicing. You know, before we go into rejoicing, see how Jesus taught about prayer. Look at Luke 11. Look at Luke 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Yeah, we see Jesus teach in what you call Matthew 6. Yeah, and he said unto them, when you pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. You know, we did a proper explanation to that to explain that prayer is actually talking about the new birth. Yeah, it's talking about the salvation provided to mankind. Yeah, we're not going into that today, but we saw that Jesus taught in Luke 11, he taught prayer. Jesus taught prayer and he practiced prayer. We see Jesus went to the wilderness to pray. You see, a man of prayer is not a man that teaches and knows the Greek name for prayer. A man of prayer is that man that goes away and sets out time to pray. Yeah, a man of prayer is a man that is devoted to prayer. You see, if you teach about prayer for 10 hours and you don't pray, you've ended up doing what? Head knowledge. Jesus taught about prayer and he prayed, he gave examples. He prayed and showed an example. Yeah, we see in 40 days, we see scriptures, he says he prayed overnight, he prayed till morning, he prayed all night. So Jesus taught prayer, he practiced it. You know, Jesus taught rejoicing, he practiced it. Jesus taught about the importance of teaching. He told Peter, he said, feed my sheep if you love me. When he resurrected, he taught for 40 days to show a template of what teaching should be. Yeah, think about it. How did Peter know what to say when people were questioning that gift of the Holy Spirit that was manifest on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2? How did he know to explain speaking in tongues? It is because he had just finished a 40-day seminar with our Lord and Savior. So Jesus said, teach. He explained, he showed how to teach. He said, rejoice. We're going to rejoice in just a little bit. Look at Matthew 6, verse 31, sorry. In fact, hold your hands in Luke 10. Yeah, or Luke 11, yeah, it will come in handy just very soon. But put your other hands and go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. You know this scripture that a lot of people used to seek car, yeah? If you seek God, Range Rover went, see. Let us stop the attitude of covetousness. Yeah, it's not a fruit of the Spirit. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. You see, Christ did not die to make us physically rich. No. It's a very hard truth to swallow, but it's actually wise to swallow it as early as now. Yeah, Christ did not die to make us physically rich. Christ died to make us spiritually rich by the giving of the riches of his glory, which is in the giving of his Spirit. Look at Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's not saying that when you seek God, that's when all the cars are... No. He couldn't be teaching that. In fact, think about yourself. You've been seeking God for how long now? Eh? Yeah, think about yourself. I'm thinking about my own self. Yeah, how many of them have been added to me? Yeah. A woman in the village, a woman that and our people and our parents or some of us that have uncles and relatives in the village, how many of them are seeking? In fact, a lot of them are more devoted than us. How many of the things are added unto them? No, you don't, you see, when you see God, he will give you range. Don't go after the range, go after God. God will give you, no. That is your covetousness being amplified. No. I say something, you know, some people might not be privileged to even go close to a Toyota Corolla all their lives, and they will serve God diligently. So, what is Matthew 6 teaching? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You see, he's talking about desire. He was speaking to them to desire the kingdom of God. Remember, Acts 1, 2, 3 shows us that the kingdom of God is about the resurrection. So, desire to see the resurrection and his righteousness. Yeah, the righteousness that comes with that resurrection. Yeah, and all this shall be added unto you anyway. It's not saying because you desire the righteousness and the kingdom of God, this is the... No. He said, seek anyway, they'll be added unto you. Why? Because I already told you that, verse 31, take no thought what you shall drink on it. Why? Because even the Gentiles seek these things. He's not saying you have an advantage over the Gentiles. He's saying that, it is normal for people to have needs of cars, houses, mansions, food. It is normal. An unbeliever has such desires. But as a believer, our desires should be changed. Christ should define our desires. Christ should define the extent and the area or volume of our desires. He says, do not seek after this thing because they seek anyways, this thing shall be added. They shall be added. He says, take no thought saying for tomorrow shall take care of yourself. Where I'm really going to is chapter 7. You know, Matthew 7:7. Ask, it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Yeah? For everyone that accepts, receiveth, seeketh, you know. And this is scripture. People say that if you take the first word of Acts is A, take the second word for seek is S, take the last word for knock is N. So every act, seek, and knock is summarized as acts. No. See, think about it. It's not everything you've asked God that God gives you. See, it's not everything mankind asks God that God gives. Yeah? It's wise to learn this as early as now. Yeah, so it's not like, so we have to look at what is the act, what is the seek, what is the knock. Think about it. How many things have you asked God for that you've not got it today? There's some things you've been asking for, yeah, that are not glory to God. Yeah, so for everyone that accepted and received knowledge, you know, so look at verse 9. Or what man is there of you whom, when his son asks for bread, will he give him stone? Yeah, can you see? Or if he asks for fish, you give him serpent. Verse 11, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? See, that word there, good things, is not saying that because your Father, is not comparing God and physical Father. He's not saying that if your father cannot give you this thing, no, that is not what he's saying. You know, a better understanding of this, we'll see how Luke established in Luke 11. Go to Luke 11. Luke 11. Remember, the four Gospels are writings of almost the same account as maybe except John that differs in some way, But you can reconfirm some stories in other of the four Gospels, other books among the four Gospels. Look at Luke 11, verse 11. Or in fact, let's start from verse 9. Verse 9, and I say unto you, ask shall be given you, seek you shall find. Can you see? The same thing we read in Matthew 7. And I say unto you, look at verse 10, for everyone that asks it receiveth, seeketh, knocketh, and everything, yeah? Look at verse 11. If a son shall ask for bread of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Is that not the same thing we just read in Matthew 7? Or if he asks for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? The same thing we just read in Matthew 7. Yeah, but remember, we are to consistently have a corroborative understanding on every topic. Yeah, look at it. It says verse 13, if ye then being evil, is that not the same thing we read in Matthew 7? Know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit. What Matthew 7 called good thing, that good thing is the Holy Spirit. The good thing is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, yeah? The Holy Spirit is that good thing that the believer has received from God. The Holy Spirit is the good thing that the believer has received from God. The Holy Spirit, let me say that again, is that good thing. That good thing that God had to offer is that Holy Spirit. Yeah? That Holy Spirit. So that is why seek ye first the kingdom of God would mean what? Desire that gift. That gift. That gift. That gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, a man that has believed the gospel has the fullness and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Yeah, what Luke called Holy Spirit, Matthew called Kingdom of God and good things. Yeah, in fact, go to John 14. Go to John 14. Go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Look at John 14, 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Remember, it is not everything you ask that God gives. So, what do you think he's talking about? If he's saying that I will do it, I will do it. That means there is an assurance. That means what he will do, there's an assurance in the fact that he will do what he said he will do. So, if you can say that if you ask God for a car today, you might not have it tomorrow. It simply means that that is not what John 14, 13 is saying. Simply means that that is what Matthew 7, 7 is saying. Simply means that that is what Luke 11, verse 9 is saying. So, whatsoever you shall ask, that whatsoever, it doesn't cover whatsoever thing on earth. Yeah, read in context. Yeah, we're not going into that today. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. Look at it. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. No, that anything cannot be anything less. Read in context. Yeah, but look at it. If you love me, keep my commandment. What's the commandment? Yeah, the commandment is verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if you love me, you will keep my words. The commandment of the Lord is his words, is his charge. Look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father. Look at it. After talking about acts, I will do. Acts, I will do. Next thing he says is, I will pray the Father. It's not pray to the Father. It's that the Father, he will give. Yeah? He's not saying that he will do special prayer. No. It is that what you ask, I will do. He now writes it as, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you what? That anything. Ask anything. What is the anything? He called the another comforter. That word there, another comforter, means allos parakletos. Yeah, is that the word there, another, is actually the word that means allos in the Greek word, is the word that means the same. So he shall give you the same comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So Jesus is with the believer forever. Jesus is with the believer forever. Who is that man that has received the good thing of God? The man that received the good thing of God is what? Is that man that has believed the gospel. Yeah, every good and perfect gift is from God, with whom there is no variableness or no shadow of turning. James 1, verse 16 to 19. Look at it. He now emphasized, in case you are not sure of that, another comforter is actually saying the same, the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. Yeah, but ye know him, and shall dwell with you, and shall be in you. For he dwelleth with you rather, and he shall be in you. That promise of the Spirit has now become the reality of a believer. Look at verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That means he is coming to you by the Spirit. So Jesus did not go anywhere. Jesus is on earth in the believer. Where is heaven on earth? Heaven on earth is in the heart of the man that believes. Heaven on earth is in the heart of the man that believes. Yet he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. If he says, I will not leave you comfortless, if you end that conversation there, it might look like, oh, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will go, sha, but I will send somebody another comforter. No. But if you read the context, you will say that, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So who is the he that will come as the another comforter? Is the same he. Is the same he. Is the same he. Oh, Jesus is in the believer. Oh, Jesus is in the believer. Jesus lives in the believer forever. Jesus lives in the believer forever. See, God's house is the believer. In God's household, there are many mansions. There are many dwelling places for God to dwell. I am part of the dwelling place. I am that body of Christ. I am part of the body of Christ. I am that saint who has decided and upon believing has allowed God to live in me. So when he says, I will not leave you comfortless, don't look at another comforter, because he has said another comforter. That another comforter is the same. So the same spirit in Christ is the same spirit that is in you. Look at verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. Look at that. Oh, glory to God. A little while, the world shall not see me. What does that mean? It is that in a little while, the physical eyes of men will not be able to see him. But we will see him. How do we see him? We see him high lifted up. Yeah, we see him high lifted up and seated in our hearts, on the throne in our hearts. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Look at verse 25. Look at 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. He's not saying that the Holy Spirit will teach you mathematics. No, 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 no. The Holy Spirit is not to teach you chemistry, physics, and biology. The Holy Spirit is to teach in reference to that work of redemption. Yeah? Jump with me to John 16. Look at John 16:16. A little while you shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Can you see him? Is that not looking confusing? You will not see me, but you will see me. And why are you seeing me? Because I'm going. Oh, look at it again. Yeah, a little while you shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me. You are going to see me because I go. So what is Jesus is going? Is he really going away or really coming? Remember, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come. I will come. John 14. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come. So Jesus is going. Is he a going in itself or really a coming? So a little while you shall not see me, because I go. What is his going? His going is really his coming. What is his going? His going is really his coming. Look at Matthew 28 verse 20. He says, teaching them to observe all things. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of time. That same spirit is in us forever. So when Jesus finished teaching for 40 days, Jesus did not... Okay, let me leave this for Wednesday. Yeah, Jesus decided or now began to live in the hearts of men. What did he say that they will not see him? Is that your physical eyes will not see him, because why? He now wants to indwell the believer. Oh, glory to God. Remember, stay joyful. We are building all of this to the point or to the fact or to that pinnacle that will show us the things that should remain us or should make us remain joyful. So, after Jesus taught, look at Luke 10. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Look at Luke 10, verse 17. And the 17 return again with joy, yeah, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Remember, through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Look at it though. He acknowledged that he's the one that gave power. Look at verse 30. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Look at that though. Look at that though. That rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Look at that. That means there is a rejoice not with Jesus and there is a rejoicing with Jesus. Why did Jesus say they should rejoice? Because names are written in heaven. Why should they not rejoice? Because, you see that? Oh, I did a crusade. Oh, I did 500 million people. Okay, they came rejoicing. I healed 500 million people. They came rejoicing. But Jesus said what? What? Rejoice not in that. Yeah? Rejoice not in that. Rejoice not in that. But what should you rejoice in? Rejoice in that thing that is constant. Look at it. It is not every time that you might pray for the sick and they will be healed. So if you allow your joy to be placed on the pedestal on your healing ministry or the healing of people, it means that it's not every time you might be joyful. But rejoice in that thing that is eternal and it is forever. What is that? That your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Yeah? Not, you see, what is that Lamb's book of life that is written? Your name has been written in that work of Christ. It's not that there is a book and there's a tippex. Yeah? It's not that there's a book and there's eraser. Rejoice. Now look at it. Remember, we saw that Jesus taught rejoicing and he rejoiced. In case you didn't know that, look at verse 21. In that hour, at that moment, Jesus rejoiced. In the spirit. That means there is such a thing that means or that says rejoicing in the spirit. Yeah, that is why in church we come to church and we rejoice in the spirit. What does it mean to rejoice in the spirit? That word there, rejoice in the spirit, is the word that means agaleo. Yeah, it means an uncoordinated movement showing your expression. You see, rejoicing in the spirit is about a demonstration at the work of Christ. That means we can have three believers rejoice together in the midst of people. One of them is rejoicing for the healing he did. One of them is rejoicing for the fact that his name is written in the book of life. And one of them is rejoicing for a mansion. Jesus said, rejoice not in the other two, but rejoice in that one. Why? Because your mansion is not eternal. Yet your mansion is not, your car is not eternal. Yeah, you see, we sing songs, eternal God, eternal blessing, what you do is eternal. But we use those to attribute cars or mansions. Your car cannot be eternal. Yeah, the eternal work, the eternal thing on earth is that eternal life that has been given. John 3:16. For God so loved the world in such a manner that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not and cannot perish, but have everlasting life. Scripture says what? Rejoice in that. Look at your neighbor. Oh, call your name and say, stay joyful. Oh, Joshua, you should stay joyful. Rejoice in this. What are you rejoicing that? Oh, that your name is in the Lamb's book forever. Oh, there is nothing. Look at the Bible says in John. It says, no one, I have given them. It says, no one can take them from my hands. No one can pluck them from my hands. Oh, glory to God. God is that good Father. He wants us to rejoice forever in that work of redemption. Yeah, rejoice in that work of redemption. Okay, it's fine. Rejoice. Oh, you healed someone. That's fine. But never allow your rejoicing in the fact that you healed someone be more than your rejoicing in the spirit in reference to that eternal work of redemption. Yeah? So, when you come to church, you don't come to church and say, when they say, if you now think about, if a man comes and say, think about how God has kept you, how God has met and provided for you, you know, all this, you rejoice, oh, Baba, oh, Modube, I give you praise, oh, you are crazy, oh, you are great, you know, and all of those things, you sing all of those things, you do all of those things, but when they say rejoice, oh, my dear brother, my dear sister, your sins are forgiven, you start shouting, who, you lift one leg up, who, I said, we are playing tente, no, you are to rejoice. You see, that fact even got to Jesus to the point that in that hour, at that moment, he rejoiced. He rejoiced. Oh, glory to God. Oh, stay joyful. Oh, Joshua, you should stay joyful. No matter what comes your way, stay joyful. When you heal the sick, stay joyful. When you pray for the sick and they are not healed, you stay joyful. Oh, glory to God. When you have, you stay joyful. When you have what you need, you stay joyful. When you don't have, you stay joyful. Oh, why am I joyful? Because the Spirit of God lives in me forever. Look at Acts 13, verse 33. Acts 13, verse 33. Oh, I'm a joyful being. I'm a joyful being. I'm full of joy. Glory to God. Acts 13, verse 3. Acts 13, verse 33. Sorry. Look at verse 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings. How that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God had fulfilled the same unto us, their children. There was a promise that was made unto the fathers. Yeah? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. There was a promise. Now, in Paul's time, they are seeing the fulfillment. Now, we are seeing the result of that fulfillment. See, God is a promise keeper. Yes, not based on your car. God's promise is the work of redemption. The promise of the Holy Spirit. Oh, glory to God. The promise of God is that promise of Christ that has been fulfilled in Christ. God, is God a promise keeper? Yes. How do we know? Not based on your house rent you were able to pay. No, God is a promise keeper based on the fact that the promise that preceded mankind was kept and fulfilled through Christ Jesus. Look at it, verse 33. God had fulfilled this same unto us, their children, in that he raised Christ from the dead. God's promise is fulfilled in the fact that he raised Christ from the dead. Look at it very well, verse 33, as it is also written in the second Psalm. You know, this is one of the scriptures that makes you know that, you know, we say that the Bible wasn't written in chapters and verses, but the truth is that Psalms was written in chapters. Yeah? So, that's why you see in Acts 13, verse 33, as it is also written in the second Psalm. What is second Psalm? Psalm 2. thou art my son, and this day have I begotten thee. You know, I've heard someone say, you know, see what translation, what Message translation did to that verse. He says, let me tell you what God said next. That's Psalm 2 verse 7, Message translation. Let me tell you what God said next. He said, you are my son, and today is your birthday. What do you want? Name it. Nations as present, continent as prize. How can you have nations as present? How can you have continent as prize? Think about it. But when you have a slant that scriptures point to Christ, salvation, salvation. When he says, today, you are my son, today is your birthday, it's not today. It's not, you know, it was very unfortunate. Very unfortunate. When I heard someone say that, you know, he said, Bible says, today is your best day. What do you want? Name it. I'm like, but today is not my birthday. Neither is today the anniversary of my birthday. Okay, if you want to say today is my physical birthday, can everybody in that room have that day as their birthday? No. Yeah, can everybody in that room be born on that day? No. Let's even say spiritual. Is it that day all of us became born again? You know, we don't have the covetous heart when we're reading scriptures. So he said, today you are my son. Today is your birthday. Name it. And what do you want? Name it. No, that was about Christ. What did Paul say about it? Acts 13:33. He says that God has fulfilled the same to us, our children, that he raised Christ from the earth. So that raising Christ from the dead is the birthday that was being spoken about. And it is written in 2 Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that, he raised him up from the dead, now no more return to corruption. He said on this wise, I will give you the sure message of David. Wherefore he said also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thy only word of corruption. That's Psalm 16:8-11. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So David as a prophet wasn't just speaking just casually. He wasn't speaking for us to make his psalms our personal daily confessions. No, he was talking about Christ. I want us to end in Psalm 16. Look at Psalm 16. Remember, Jesus said, remain joyful. That means you are to remain joyful, whether there's keyboard, there's drum, there's guitar, or there's not any of this. You are to remain joyful because there's that eternal fact, that is an eternal reality, that once a man is saved and his name is written in the book of life, it is forever. Stay joyful. Rejoice in this. Look at Psalm 16. Look at Psalm 16. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I remain joyful. I'm so full of joy. Joy, joy, joy. Glory to God. I'm full of joy. I'm full of joy. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, yeah, yeah. No matter what I go through, I'm full of joy. Look at Psalm 16. Look at Psalm 16. Look at verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. If you read Psalm 8 without understanding that scriptures point to Christ, you will feel like David was talking about himself, or you can make that your personal confession. Look at it again. He says, now it says, look at verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. If you read that independent of the knowledge about scriptures point to salvation, you will think David speaks about himself. Verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thy holy one to see corruption. Yet, if you read the scripture, you will think David is talking about himself. But remember, explanations of Old Testament scriptures are found in New Testament books. Look at verse 11. Thou will show me the path of joy. In the presence there is fullness of joy. At the right hand, the presence of forevermore. David could not have been talking about Sunday morning or Wednesday evening. Yeah, it's not that as a praise leader you come forward and say, oh, glory to God. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. But remember, you simply said last week that the presence of God is in the believer. Yeah, so we don't come into the presence of God, we come as the presence of God. Oh, you see, that's a good place to rejoice. Yeah, we don't come into, we come as, we come with the presence of God. Yeah, we come into a building as the saints, we come into the building as the body of Christ. We are saints. So he's not saying in the presence of the Lord, he's not talking about when you, no. How do we know this? Look at how Peter explains it. Remember, Acts 2:22. This was just the day of Pentecost, just a few days after Jesus had taught for 40 days. Acts chapter 2. I'm so full of joy, 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 joy. Yes, stay joyful, Joshua Yusuf, stay joyful. No matter the circumstance you find yourself, stay joyful, remain joyful. Yeah, they might not have music, but stay joyful. You might not have keyboard, yes, stay joyful. You see, music is not what makes us glorify God. Yeah, yeah, music is not, you see, we have the Psalms of David, we have the prophecies of David, but we don't have the people that play the music behind the scene. Yeah, we don't have the harp players, we don't have the names of those. Why? Because the most important is the prophet that gave prophecies about Christ.
Yeah, we don't have an MP3 file that says these are the sounds from David's music. No, we don't say we got the words. We got the words. Our focus should be on the words. Yeah, our focus should be on the words. Glory to God. So David spoke about Christ. How do we know? Acts chapter 2, verse 22. To oh, glory to God. I'm full of joy. Oh, no matter what comes my way, I'm full of joy. Hey, glory, 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 glory. Look at Psalm 2, verse 22. Acts 2, rather, verse 22. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. This is Peter talking, yeah? Ye men of Israel, hear this word. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God amongst you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Yeah? Foreknowledge of God. Yeah, he wasn't new to God. Yeah? Christ was not an afterthought of what Adam did. Christ was the plan from before time. Yeah? He says, having delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken, who are the ye? Ye men of Israel. Ye have taken, and by wicked hands you have crucified and slain. You see, God did not crucify or slain Jesus. Men crucified and slain Jesus. They crucified and slain Jesus. What did God do in reference to crucifixion? Look at verse 24. Whom God had raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that should hold him of him. So, what did God do? God rose Jesus up. What did men do? Men killed Jesus. Who was, now think about it this way. Who was God? What did God do? He delivered Jesus. Yeah? What did men do? Men killed him. What did Jesus do? What did God do? He rose him up. Who was Jesus dying for? The men that killed him. Who was Jesus dying for? The men that killed him. Who was Jesus resurrecting for? The men that killed him. You see, God's love is so amazing that even those men that stoned him and flogged him, upon resurrection, if they believe the gospel, they will be with us. They are with us already. They have the kingdom of heaven in them. Now, look at how David and Peter explains David's Psalms. Look at Psalms, Acts 2, verse 25. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Yeah, is that not the same thing we read in Psalm 2? Yes, yes, yes. The same thing we read in Psalm 2. Yeah? For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. If you read that independent of knowledge about salvation points to Christ, you will think that David spoke about himself. But what did Peter say? David speak concerning him. Who is that him? Him is that him that God raised up, whom men killed. Look at verse 26. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou allow thy Holy One see corruption. If you read Psalms 2:8-16, you will think David was speaking about himself. Yeah? Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, that thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Look at it, verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. What is Peter explaining? David wrote this as a prophet. Look at it. He says, David that is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. That means you can go to a place and find where they said they buried David. That means he suffered corruption. That means he is suffering corruption. What is corruption? Remaining in the land of the dead. Verse 30, therefore being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn by his oath. Yeah, remember how the Peter say it from verse 23, who being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge. What does he say in verse 30? Being a prophet, knowing of God who has sworn with an oath, that on the fruit of his loin, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Look at verse 31. He seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. What was David speaking about in Psalm 16? The resurrection of Christ. As a prophet, he spoke about the resurrection of Christ. He spoke about the resurrection of Christ. He spoke about the resurrection of Christ. That his soul will not be left in hell, neither will his flesh did see corruption. What is flesh seeing corruption? His body decay in the burial ground. Look at verse 32. This Jesus had God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the righteous hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this which we now see and hear. For David is not ascending to heavens, but he said unto him, the Lord said unto my Lord, if you read the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand, you will think David is speaking about himself. What do we see from this? David spoke about Christ.
Yeah, what does it mean? When he says in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy, it means that upon the resurrection of Christ, yeah, the believer's joy is full. There is joy for the believer. The believer's joy is full. How did Peter know this? Peter attended a 40-day seminar of Jesus for 40 and Jesus for 40 days teaching about what? The kingdom of God. Acts 1 verse 2 and 3. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah, so the believer has fullness of joy. The believer is to remain joyful. Look at, the believer has a disposition of joy. The believer is to always have a disposition of rejoicing and joy in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, before we go this morning, let's see how some disciples remain joyful. What were disciples joyful about? Look at Acts 5:41. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Let's see. Verse 38. Acts 5:38, and now I say unto you, refrain from this man and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of God, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, he cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Look at verse 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and what? Beating them. They had called the apostles and beating them. So the apostles were beaten. Imagine what the apostles were saying that they were beaten. You know, it wasn't to be to see it, you have to fake it. Yeah, they were beaten, they were teaching sound doctrine. The apostles were beaten. Look at that. They commanded that they should not speak of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means the apostles were beaten because they didn't want them to speak about Jesus. Yeah, the apostles were beaten because they didn't want them to speak about Jesus. But look at it. The apostles departed, verse 41. From the presence of the council, what were they doing? Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. You see that? They counted it worthy to suffer shame for his name, for his work. Yeah, so if it's a man, and they say, that's dishonor. You don't honor the anointed. The anointed and the only, you don't honor. But what happened? What happened? What did they say here? They said, well, they counted it worthy. They counted it worthy. They counted it worthy to be flogged. They rejoiced, and daily in the temple, verse 42, and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus. They told them not to teach Jesus. They flogged them for teaching Jesus. Yet, as soon as they left the site of the council, they continued preaching Jesus. They continued teaching Jesus. They were rejoicing. Yeah, they were rejoicing. See, rejoicing is not about when you hear good news. There are different good news. There's a good news. Oh, there's a good news of this. There's a good news of that. Oh, there's a good news. I got a job. That's fine. But do not rejoice over a good news over the good news. Do not rejoice more over a good news than the good news. There is the good news. There is the good news. I mean, it's natural for a man to rejoice over a car. That is a gift. It's natural for a man to rejoice over a job that is being paid well. But do not rejoice over that fact more than the good news. Yeah, the reality. Yeah. So when you hear there are 15 more cases or there are 15 new cases, yeah, you stay joyful. When you hear that there are 50 people that have been healed, what do? You remain joyful. You preach Christ and Him glorified alone. Look at Romans 5 verse 1 to 3. 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 Therefore, being joyful by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. We have been justified rather by faith. By whom also we have access by faith. We have access by faith. We've been justified by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Knowing that tribulations work at patience. Yeah, we rejoice in tribulation. We rejoice in no matter what situation, no matter the situation we find ourselves. Look at Colossians 1:9. Colossians 1:9. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. Colossians 1 verse 9. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. What does it say? Colossians 1 verse 9. For this cause, we also, since that we heard of it, we do not cease to pray. Yeah, what are they praying about? And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in the wisdom of the spirit of understanding, spiritual understanding rather, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of Christ, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, with all patience and long suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which had made us meet. Now remember, your joyfulness is based on what? Your thanksgiving also, that is in reference to what? The Father that has made us to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints, of the saints in the light.
who had delivered us from the power of darkness. Yeah, we remain joyful because we've been delivered from the power of darkness. Yeah, I stay joyful. I remain joyful. I stay joyful. I remain joyful. Lift your hand and say, I stay joyful. No matter what comes my way, I stay joyful. Oh, I stay joyful. Now, finally, go to James 1 verse 2. James, finally, go to James 1 verse 2. Look at verse 1, James 1, 1. James, the servant of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, oh, people of God, people that are listening to me right now, my brethren, count it all joy, yeah? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, when you fall into diverse trials, knowing this, that this trying of your faith worketh patience. Yeah, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Oh, glory to God. I count it all joy. I count it all joy that my name, no matter what is going through, I have eternal life. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have forgiveness of sins. Oh, God lives in me forever by His Spirit. Oh, glory. I count it all joy. No matter what I go through, I stay joyful. I remain joyful. Oh, let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I remain joyful. I remain joyful. I'm full of joy. At the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. Upon resurrection, my joy remains full. I have fullness of joy because my reality is eternal. Oh, my reality is eternal. I have eternal redemption. I have eternal righteousness. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, glory, 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 glory. I'm full of joy. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. 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 Yeah. Whether I have a house, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Whether I have my dream job, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I remain joyful. Whether I have whether challenges come my way, I remain joyful. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, people of God, thank you for having church this evening with us. We trust it has been a great time. Yeah, we trust that it has been an instructive service. Yeah, remain joyful. No matter what comes your way, remain joyful. Remember, you can listen to the teaching from Wednesday again. Remain joyful. You are full of the Holy Ghost. You are full of the Holy Ghost. You are full of the Holy Ghost. That means you are full of the Holy Ghost. Simply means that you are full of power. Yeah? Because you are full of power, remain joyful. Remain joyful. Oh, I am full of power. No matter what news you hear, remain joyful. Oh, I'm full of power. Bible says that Jesus in that hour rejoiced. Oh, wherever you find yourself, rejoice in the Holy Ghost. Rejoice in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, rejoice in the Holy Ghost. Why are you rejoicing in the Holy Ghost? Your name has been written forever in that Lamb's Book of Life. You have the Spirit indwelling you forever. There is nothing you can do to undo that. Oh, glory to God. I rejoice in the Holy Ghost forever. Hallelujah. Yeah, people of God, maintain that disposition, maintain that attitude of joy. Remain full of joy. We are full of joy. We are saints. Until I come your way again, remain full of joy. Remind yourself of the reality. Listen to these messages over and over again. Yeah. Have a lovely Sunday. Have a beautiful Sunday. Remain isolated. Remain quarantined. Maintain all hygienes of the government and Federal Republic of Nigeria and all of that, whatever country you find yourself. But always never forget. Never forget. You are full of power. Have a beautiful Sunday. I love you all. Be good.